The following shiur has been presented by Rav David Grossman, Rosh Beis Havad Binyani Mishpat, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Bovakamed of Tess of Aleph. The Gemara of Tess says in the name of Rav Huna. Rav Huna Omar, Oi Kesef, Oi Meitav. A person is allowed to pay either Kesef, either cash, or Meitav, the best. Rav Nachman asks, we know the pasuk says Yoshev, a person has to compensate the Bailam, means anything, even Shava Kesef. So why are you saying Oy Kesef, Oy Meitav? Even Subin is okay. So it says the Gemara, my skin and the Lesley. He doesn't have, the only thing he has is Subin. A person to pay the proper payment for Hezek does not have to go and sell his assets. He can give Shava Kesef, he can give Subin, even any type of metaldolin is okay. Just to recap for 2 minutes as to what went on in the last couple of blot. The Gemara of Zayin and Aleph asks a stira in reference to Tashlum and Nezokin. What does a person have to pay with? Abai asks Rava. It says, Meitav Sadeo. A person, when he damages, he has to pay Meitav, the best of the best, the idiots he has to pay. So it's Mashma that he has to pay Meitav. Asks the Gemara, well, Tani, we learned in a Braisa, Yoshua Rabbi Shava Kesef, that even Shava Kesef is okay. So the Gemara has a few terutzim. The Gemara of Zainam at Beis brings down from Rav Papa and Rav Huna Ber Rabbi Yeshua that really kol mili meitavu. Any type of metaldolin is considered meitav. So it's not a stira. On the one hand, it says you have to pay meitav, but even Shava Kesef is okay, which means that that according to Rav Papa, meitashum and nizokin, a person can pay any type of metaldolin, any movable object he can pay. He can pay with his pens or feathers, or whatever he wants to pay with. If he pays karka, then he has to already pay the best of the best, the idiot of a nechasa. But all metaltan are idiots. Explains Tosis and the Rishonim that here in Daf Tes, Rav Huna is coming to argue. Rav Huna is saying that you Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brady of Yeshua both said that there's no mila, there's no reason to have to pay cash. Says Rav Huna, no. You have two choices. Either you pay the best of the best, or you pay cash, but you cannot pay Subin. It says you pay Subin. Says the Gemara, when you don't have those two, then you have to pay Subin. Then you're allowed to pay Shava Kesef. In other words, according to Rav Huna, if you have cash and Subin, you must pay the cash, you cannot pay the Subin. If you don't have either karka or meitav, then you're allowed to pay Subin. So what comes out is as follows. The machlokes Rishonim, the Rif, says that we pass them like Rav Huna Brady of Yeshua and Rav Papa, that they hold that there's no advantage in paying cash. However, Tosis brings down from Beinu Tam, that holds, no, we pass them like Rav Huna, that says, Oy Kesef, Oy Meitav. When a person damages somebody else, he has to pay cash if he has cash. If he doesn't have any cash, then he can pay other things. Taisus in Dibri HaMaschel Rav Huna and Daf Tesam and Aleph brings down the Das Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam says there's three different types of payments that a person has to pay. When it comes to damages, when it comes to Nizokin, so then we pass on like Rav Huna that says that if you have cash, you must pay cash. If you have karka, you must pay meitav. If you don't have karka or cash, then you can pay shava kesef. You're allowed to pay subin. By a bal choiv, if a person borrows money, and now it's time for him to pay back, so if he has zuzi, if he has money, then you have to give money. You can't even give karka. That's the stringency of bal choiv over nizokin. That if you owe somebody money because you borrowed money, so then you can't even give meitav sadeu. You must give cash. If you don't have cash, you don't have to sell your assets again. There's a third madrega, a third level, which is schiras poyalim. Rashi, the Gemara Be'etzim, and Daf Kuf, Yud, Ches, and Bob Metzia, The Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph says that if a person hires somebody, he must pay in cash, even if he doesn't have cash. He has to sell what he has and get cash. You cannot pay your worker with materials. The Gemara brings a interesting brisa. The brisa says, if a person is sirchas apoyel lasis, he might be tefenu b'kash. He hires somebody to rake and to clean up or to clean straw. And after a full day's work, the boss says, thank you so much for your help. You raked up hundreds and hundreds of bags of leaves, and I owe you $50. Take these leaves. These leaves can be all yours. If you sell them in the shuk, you'll be able to get, for these 50 bags of leaves, you'll be able to get $50. A dollar a bag. They can use it for brush. They can use it for fireplace or for firewood, whatever it is. So, says Gemara, of course you cannot give him what he worked in, because a poyel has to get cash. Even if you have leaves, you have to sell the leaves and generate cash, so to give the poyel cash. Now, what I'd like to speak about today, in reference to Daftes, is a fascinating halachic question about the status of a check. We were mentioning here that there's a din of shove kesef, there's a din of kesef, sometimes you have to pay cash, sometimes you have to pay shove kesef. What is the status of a check? Does a check have a din of money? Does it have a din of shove kesef? Is it like a shtar? What is it exactly? And this question of a check plays itself out in numerous places in halacha. Just to give a little bit of a history, the inyan of a check is first found in the Kadmoinim, the Achroinim. It's brought in a Shach and Simon Kuf Tzadik in Choshen Mishpat, and he talks about the concept of a Mamroni. A Mamroni was the first type of check, which was like a cashier's check. It was paid to the holder, paid to the order of. And that obviously has a greater din of cash. If you want to analyze what a check is, if it's paid to the order of, obviously it's more oivel asoicher. It's more like cash. Every dollar bill be'etzem could be looked at a paid to the order of. It doesn't have an inherent value. It just represents money. So if a person has a cashier's check that he's running around with, that is as much shavah kesef as you're going to get. Throughout the ages, the different names that came up, but basically it's the same concept. There was something called a ches chof, which stands for chiluf ksav. There was something called a trata, a vixel. In different places, in different shuvasvar, we find different names for the concept. Now we also have to understand that there's a difference between a check in Israel and a check in the United States or other countries. And that is that a check in Israel is considered hatzah lepoel. As soon as you write a check in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, legally the status of that check is that it's whoever holds the check is really holding the funds behind the check, and it's illegal for a person to cancel a check for any reason at all other than fraud. If it was never written, then he's allowed to cancel a check. But once it was written, even if you're not happy with the product that you paid for it, or you decided you wanted to give a guy a present, then you decided against it, it's illegal. Once you write that check, it's illegal to cancel it. If you cancel it for any reason other than fraudulent reasons, then then you committed a crime. However, in America and other countries, a check is only, it's only exercised and executed when it gets to the bank. But till it gets to the bank, a person can cancel it for any reason. He pays the fee and he cancels it. And in other words, it's not considered given over, and it's not considered like the holder of the check is owned anything until he cashes the check. Now there are three shitas as to how to view a check. What exactly is a check? When a person writes a check to somebody else, what is it? The first shita is that all it is a hiras tashlum. It's a order to your bank. Your bank is holding your money. And if a person writes out a check, he's basically giving an order to the bank that when this person comes with a check, you may release the money that I have sitting in the bank. Now, that means the check is not money. It's not even an obligation. It's just all it is, I'm giving this person permission to go and ask the holders of my money for the money that I have. Some say, even on this tzad, even according to this understanding of a check, some want to say that he might be obligated to stand behind the check. That's possible. But all it is, it's an obligation to stand behind a hero, a tzivoy, a command, that I command you to give my money to this person. But the money has not been given. It's not cash, it's not even shava kesef. The second nahalach, the second way to view a check, is that it has a din of shava kesef. It's considered like it has a value. And in this mahalach, in this understanding of a check, there's three ways to understand why exactly it has a din of shava kesef. One is because of its marketability, because it could be given and furthered. So it itself has a value. It has a shava kesef. It's not cash itself, but it is value. You can sell a check. You can transfer a check. It has a value. Some say the reason why it's considered shava kesef is because through this check, you are actually being makne and giving over the money that's right now sitting in your account. And what we have to understand, how was this kinyachal? We know that every time you want to give something over, you need a specific kinyan. Maybe there's a concept of situmto or minhig, that since it's done this way, so that's where the transfer ownership would take place. This needs explanation. But there are many poskim that say that a check has a din, and we consider and we view it as to be shava kesef. Some say it works with the concept of maimit shloshton, even though not all three parties are here. These svaras are delicate, but the basic concept is that it has a din of shava kesef, and we'll see the nafkaminas later on exactly how it plays itself out. The third understanding of a check is an understanding that many places can go with, namely the Minchas Yitzchok, Dayan Weiss, Pischei Choysher of Yaakov Bloy, in a Sefer in Halvo, Perek Yud, that it's a shtaris chayvus. It's not cash, it's not shava kesef, it's an obligatory note. It's as if I wrote an IOU. Now we have to understand, it doesn't say anywhere IOU. It says pay to the order of. Now pay to the order of really sounds like the first mahalach. Pay to the order of shows us that it's just telling you it's giving a command to the bank to pay to the order of the person, the holder of this check. So someone says, the Rechayim wants to say in Chesha Mishvitz in Yud Beis, he wants to say that even though it says Shalem Lefkudat, it says pay to the order of, but since it's the minig, that this sprach, this language means I'm mischayev. That's how a person is mischayev. I did a check. So the minig makes it as if he was mischayev, even though he really wasn't mischayev. There's even a tzad, the Mishpatechel Yaakov and Simon Chafes Evov, wants to say that it has a din, not of your own IOU note, but it's actually a shtar hischayevus, an obligation from the bank that's holding your money. In other words, the bank that's holding your money gave you the right to obligate and to be mischayev the money that's sitting in your bank on their behalf. The Bris Yehuda of Yaakov Leh again has such a tzad in Perek Tezvav in his Sefer on Ribbits. And the nafkamina who shachayvid is, if it's your own or if it's shalachayim, has ramifications in regards to Ribbits. But let's go one step at a time. Let's go with the subject that we're dealing with in today's daf. The Tosfos brings down, as we mentioned, that a person must pay, when a person hires a worker, he has to pay cash. Rashi says in the Kufi Chesem of Metzia that the reason you have to pay cash is because Yizichah promised him to pay cash. It's as if he promised him to pay cash, and the poel is being soimich on cash. No one works a full day to get leaves in return, and therefore a person would have to pay cash. The question is, can a person pay a poel with a check? So Moran Agrishal Yoshev Shlita, Rabbi Yashiv paskins that a person can force his employee to take a check, and the main reason is because that's the minig and that's the understanding. It means although a check may not have a din of cash, it's not considered to be cash, but since that's the understanding that you would pay with a check, so that would be okay. The Pesach Choshen says the same thing. Rav Moshe Sternbach in Tshuvas V'Hanhogos Chelek Gimel Siman Tafayin Yod Ois Gimel also says the same thing, that you can force your employee to take a check for compensation. Another logic they use is because you can go right away and get cash for it. You can go to the bank and get cash for it, so therefore it's as if you gave cash. The question would be, if you're paying him when the bank is closed, then possibly you should not pay cash, and then possibly you should not give a check. Or if you don't have kisui, if you don't have any money in the bank, then also you should pay cash, you shouldn't give a check. I heard in the name of Diane Fisher, Zichrono Livracha, that a person really, he holds that a person should give cash to his employees. Now the next question is, if you're allowed to give cash, but are you mekayim the mitzvah of v'yomer titin scharoi? What is the schar? The schar is cash. And if you give a check, are you mekayim the mitzvah? Rabbi Yashiv again holds you are mekayim the mitzvah, and the Pesach Choshen and Rosh Hashanah also hold that you're mekayim. If the minig is to pay with a check, then you are mekayim the mitzvah. However, if Nissen Karelitz in the Sefer Chut HaShani brings down that although you're allowed to and you're not over any surin if you give a check, but you do not get the mitzvah of yomitid nischorei, your mevadel mitzvah say, you could have done a mitzvah say by giving cash, but giving a check does not suffice, and therefore you would not be considered to have given cash, you would not be mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of yomitid nischorei. Now, a few other nafkaminis, let's just bring them to light, even though they might be complicated, and possibly we might, we'll just brush on them and touch upon them. What would happen if a person gives a check to his friend, and then he gives a present, and then the person would lay aleinu, he would die? There was a famous story recently in London. A person on Purim gave out, I think it was £1 million in tzedakah. He gave out checks and checks and checks and checks, and the next day he was nifter, before any of the meisters had a chance to cash the checks. So the question was, eich don dein al haidina? Are all these meisters allowed to cash the checks against the will of the yorshim? Right away, as soon as this person dies, all his money goes automatically, before any probate and before any court procedures or anything, a pitayra, goes automatically in 1 second, everything just transfers over to the yorshim. Do these yorshim have to honor these checks? So let's see. If these checks have a din, like they're cash, like I gave you money already, so then the yorshim have to honor them. It's whatever kinyan it works, but it's either they acquired the money that's in the bank, or he gave away from himself this shtar eschayvus. He gave away this obligation, so then they would be able to. However, if we learn like the first tzad, that all a check is a hayroas tashlum. It's just a command to the bank that when this person gets there, please release this X amount of funds. So since they haven't gotten there before the person died, they did not exercise the rights to take those funds. Now there's a new owner. The son owns the funds, and one cannot take cash the check after the father died. Even one might say that since he gave it to Tzedakah, it's a neder. and he promised this moise this amount of money, which is a very good svara, especially in tzedakah. There's a tzad that a person could obligate himself in tzedakah even b'machshava. The Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Lamed Vavam and Beis, the fiches of tzedakah, Tosis brings down that possibly even machshava a person can mechayev himself tzedakah. However, Yarshim do not have an obligation to uphold the nedarim of their father. It's a very nice thing to do, but they're not obligated to do such a thing. And therefore, in the case, if a check would be just merely a command to the bank, then the Moises would not be able to exercise this right. And the same question is if a person gives a check and then the check gets burnt up. So if he gave if he was writing an obligation, so the obligation is shor v'kayim, the obligation stays, even though the proof to the obligation is burnt, but there's an obligation already. And if it's a hero, if it's a command that he's mekabel on himself, a chray is to uphold that command also. But if what I gave you is a devar erech, I gave you a check that has value, that the check itself is valuable, so it's as if I gave you a plant and the plant died, I gave you a dollar bill and it got burnt. I don't have to stand behind it. I gave you a shabbat kesef that you had a right to exercise. It's possible that you wouldn't have to stand behind it. Now, how about b'negeya, all the things that kesef is koineh? There's a halacha that karka, non-movable object, real estate, is nikness with kesef. A person has to give a prut, or he gives a certain amount of money, and with that he's kind of he acquires the entire property. And the same halacha is metaltlin midoraisa. Midoraisa, a person can acquire metaltlin with cash, with kesef. The question is, when it comes to certain mitzvahs in the Torah, even though the Chachamim said that nowadays we cannot acquire metaltlin by paying cash. However, whenever it comes to a mitzvah d'oraisa, there are those that hold that a person must pay cash. A person buys his lulav, he has to pay kesef, because even though meshicha, pulling the object, midrabanan, is considered a kinyan, and the esrog would be considered yours, and you can shake it on sukkah, because it has a din of lachem, it belongs to you. However, since midoraisa, the only way to acquire an esrog is by paying cash, some are of the opinion that a person must give cash to purchase his esrog. And if he doesn't give cash, if he doesn't give money, he's not yaitza the mitzvah, because the only way to be kind of something midoraisa is through kesef. Now, what would happen should I give a check? Is a check also considered cash? So let's go through that study. If it's a hiras tashlum, so you did not give cash. If it's a command that whoever holds this, I allow the bank to give the money, but it's not considered money till he gets the money. He didn't deliver any money, any funds. If it's a shtar chayiv, so then it's a whole complicated issue. If a shtar chayiv, a person can acquire something by giving a shtar chayiv. If it has a din of shava kesef, if it has an actual din of money, of cash. So then a person will be able to acquire an esrig or matzah. He will be able to be mekadesh an isha, to marry a woman with a check. And he will be able to purchase land, real estate with a check. And all those kinyanim will be able to take place. There are other nafkaminis, b'negei pruzbul, b'negei ribis, I'll mention shortly. There's a halacha that if a person writes a shtar choiv on himself and sells it for cheap, there's a problem with ribis. It's if I write an IOU note for $100 and I sell it to you for $90, so that's a scharm tanas mois. You're getting paid to wait on my money. I'm giving you an IOU note for a month and I'm giving you a $10 discount. That's ribis. If it's a shtar, by a shtar choy shel acherim, you're allowed to sell for a discount. In other words, if Shimon writes me an IOU note for $100, and I'm not interested in waiting around for Shimon's $100. I want to sell it now, cheap. So I take Shimon's shtar and I sell it to Levi for a $10 discount. That is mutter according to most places. Machna Ephraim is machlekes exactly what type of kinyan a person needs to give it over in order to dodge the issur of ribis. However, in any event, a shtar chayv shel acherim would be mutter. So a check, if I want to give you a check for $100 and ask you for $90 back, that would depend. And if a check has a status of my own shtar, then it would be a problem. If it has the status of a shtar of the bank, then it would be beseder. If it's a ros tashlum, then if it's a command to the bank to deliver the funds, and again, there would be no ribis issue. This issue of checks and wire transfers and other forms of payment, modern day forms of payment, had many significant differences and intricacies in halacha, and it's kedai for us to delve into these halachos be'iyun, because there's many, many nafkaminas in halacha as to what the status of a check is.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.